Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Welcome to the MMA Roadshow, episode number 538. My name is John Morgan, coming to you from Tampa, Florida. We'll get into all that, CFFC 144. But of course, at the same time, from back home in Las Vegas, I am joined by noted Las Vegas sports reporter Cole Coffey. He's out there covering the NBA Summer League, getting all the scoop of the National Basketball Association. Then he's got a little Then he got a little Manny Pacquiao going on as well. He's crossing over to the boxing world. Cole Coffey's just blown up. I've spent the last several months just saying that you should be fighters only, World MMA Awards, Journalist of the Year nominee. And now what I'm realizing is, that's probably been an insult to you this whole time, because I've been setting the bar so low, and you're like, John, don't peg me into that hole of just being in the MMA world. I am global. So how are you, Cole Coffey? Thank you for fitting time to talk a little mixed martial arts into your day.
Hey, well, you know, I'm so lucky to be here. Thank you very much. You know, I had to cancel a few things earlier today. I was like, you know, Manny wanted to hang out personally. I was like, Manny, I can't today. I got to tape this podcast, you know, MMA, you know. No, I'm good. But yeah, man, I'm enjoying it. You know, as much as there are parts of boxing that drive me absolutely crazy, there are some parts that are pretty cool. And the fact that I'm getting to be on an event where Pacquiao, who I thought was done, you know, I think everybody thought he was done. You know, I think it'd been 4 years since he's fought. You know, to hear him go out there and say he was there to entertain the crowd and do his thing, it's neat. It's neat to see that. So, but yeah, I'm excited. In fact, I think Saturday I'm going to work from the MGM. I'll be doing remote. I'm assigned remote editing for the UFC event because we got Mike Bond there down in New Orleans. So I think I'm just going to work from the MGM and take that all in, so I get a little bit of both. Get some boxing, get some, you know, some real fighting, some MMA, and just take it all in. So, yeah, I'm enjoying it. And you know, we've talked about it, you know, offline, about just the MGM, the history of the place, and just all the past events. And in fact, you know, some of the UFC staffers were there kind of taking in the press conference yesterday, but that got brought up by them as well. Lillian, who, you know, one of the Brazilian PRs, was like, remember all the great times we've had in this venue and all the cool events? And I'm like, yeah, man, you can't forget it. I mean, it was so cool. And in fact, my very first UFC event was in the MGM Grand Garden Arena. And so it was, you know, there's just a lot of history there, that so it definitely means a lot to go back into that space.
It really does, and like you said, a lot of history, a lot of fun events, and it was just something about like the old school layout, I guess. You know, the fact that the arena, the MGM Grand Garden Arena, just spills out like into the casino floor, so it's just like after the event is over, like everybody's still going into the same place. I mean, don't get me wrong, not insulting T-Mobile Arena by any stretch. I mean, it's a beautiful venue, but you know, you leave there and everybody just kind of disperses. Some people head over to Park MGM, some people head to New York, some people hit that little area in there. They just leave everywhere, right? But there, even us as media, like when we would leave MGM Grand Garden Arena, when we leave the arena part to get to the press conference, you know, we have to go through the crowd. It just had like this energy and this buzz, like even after the fight's over, like everybody's talking. And I don't know, man. It is kind of cool. Like I can put myself back in those moments, in those days, and it just had like a little bit different energy to it.
And it's cool because, you know, you get to see the security, casino security guys that have been working all these events, you know, from years back. And if you have the time and if they're, you know, so inclined, you can get them talking stories of old fights and old matches and old events that taken place there. It's just, it feels like you're touching, like you said, the T-Mobile is awesome, but for the most part, I'm back in a tent. You know, I don't get the same sort of a feel
with the lights swinging
like
overhead
inside.
All night long and helicopters just dive-bombing.
You know, you just don't get the same feel of when you're, you know, in an arena like the MGM Grand. Like you said, intermingling with the crowd and stuff. Normally, most fight nights at any venue elsewhere, we're in the bowels of the arena or something like that, and you don't really see the crowd. So it's neat to kind of have to, like, see that and just kind of feel it, because you could feel everybody's excitement. You can hear the reactions of the event from everybody, from different people that are outside of the media space, which is always kind of cool to get their take on things. It's fun. So it's been kind of cool, and I think that's one of the reasons why I was like, I could sit at home on Saturday and watch the fights and work from the couch, because we both said it time and time again, it's a lot of fun to work from the couch.
Yes, it is.
But, the MGM is not too bad, because it's not too hard to get there.
Right.
Because there's different side streets and back roads that you could take, so you don't have to worry too much about traffic. But, and it's so storied. So I'm just like, man, why not? Let's just go work from there, and I'll get to see, you know, watch some boxing. I don't envision I'm going to see Manny post-fight, but you never know. Barrios is legit, but there are some really good fights. In fact, I forget the gentleman's name, but the two of the fighters that are fighting for one of the titles underneath it, I'd have to pull up the card because I don't live in the space. I don't memorize these guys' names. But one of the last events I went to, these guys were like a fight or two before the main event, and they absolutely killed it, and it was like voted one of the, like, boxing fights of the years, and these guys are having a rematch on this one. So I'm like, dude, this is gonna be pretty cool, you know, to see something a little bit different. So I'm looking forward to it.
Boxing's fun because it's so interesting, like the dynamic between the two, like boxing. And it's been a while since I've been at a boxing event, but you know, every time I'd ever go, like the main event just does feel a little bit bigger for some reason. Like, it feels bigger than MMA. Like, for whatever reason. And I don't say that poorly, because obviously, like, a UFC event feels big. The flip side is, a UFC event feels bigger from the very start, right? You know what I mean? Cause, like, in boxing, you'll be there. If you're there early, like, I mean, even the media doesn't even show up to the main card, much less the fans.
The regular fans.
Yeah, like, dude, I couldn't believe that. I'm like, what, the media's not here for the first fight? Like, so how are you supposed to know who's up and coming and what the next wave of talent is? So that part of it's weird, whereas, like, in a UFC event, you know, the media lines up, they get there early, you know, everybody's there and they're in their place, you know. Vegas, obviously the crowd's a little bit later, but if you're not in Vegas and you're in like a regional town like Nashville the other week, I mean, it's packed right from the start, whereas like a boxing event just doesn't feel that way. But when you do get to the pinnacle, and I don't know what it is, maybe part of it is that they do kind of lean into the chaos a little bit. Like, there's 50 people in the ring, and there's the walkouts are insane. Like, I don't know what it is, but
the walkout seems to build up to that walkout much more so than the other walkouts.
Yeah, it does. For whatever reason, like, big boxing main events do feel a little bit bigger than UFCs, but UFCs just feel bigger throughout the entire night. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
that is true. You feel like the UFC treats every fight. You know, obviously they pay a lot of attention and they put a lot of emphasis on the main event, but you feel like they give equally as much attendance, you know, to the earlier fights.
Right.
Whereas boxing, it does feel like an afterthought that just happens to happen. It literally feels why they coined the word undercard.
It is.
Because they're just like, it's below the rest.
It is not a stretch. I remember, and it was actually inside MGM Grand Garden Arena, and I can't remember which fight it was at. It's just been so long. I mean, we're talking, you know, 10 years ago plus. But it would not be a stretch, because I was there for the first fight, to say that, like, I could literally count, like, 20 people in the crowd. Like, 20 inside MGM Grand Garden Arena. Like, I mean, there was...
Wow.
No one. It was like their families had come to their seats, and like that was it. You know what I mean? Which, I mean, granted, we criticize sometimes the UFC crowd in Las Vegas for being late arriving, but not like that. You know what I mean? It's just like a handful of people. So anyway, good stuff, man. Well, I hope you're enjoying it, and hopefully it'll be a fun Saturday night. Like I said, hey, if you can remote edit from anywhere, why not remote edit from another sporting event? You know what I mean? Where you right? take it in. Like, I mean, why not, right? Have a little fun. Give yourself a little something to watch in the background rather than just the TV. I mean, might as well enjoy it, you know?
Yeah, I mean, and it's going to force me to have to put pants on. You know, I'll have to shower. You know, like, it's little things that, you know, you take for granted that if I'm working from home, I'm not going to.
The reality of working from home is I don't ever have to get dressed. Like, that is hilarious.
That's it.
That's funny. Well, like I said, I am in Tampa, Florida. CFFC 144 is tomorrow, Friday night on UFC Fight Pass. So if you can take a moment to carve out some of your entertainment watching on Friday night and check out CFFC 144. Happy to announce the man CM Punk will be back in the building, his first event this year with us. He's been so busy with the WWE, but his travel and like where the organization is and where his responsibilities are, they lined up so that he could be here tomorrow night. And Karate Heidi is back as well. Michelle Watterson Gomez will be with us as well. She did such a fantastic job last time out that we definitely had to have her back. So we're going three wide in the booth. It'll be me and Punk and Michelle Watterson. And I was actually asking Michelle, we had a production call earlier this week, and I asked her, I was like, have you ever even like met Punk? I mean, have you guys like crossed paths anywhere? And she was like, no, not really. I don't think we've ever even talked to each other. Like, we've never crossed paths. So, it'll be their first time hanging out. But I have no doubt. The personalities of both those two, I think it's going to be a lot of fun, to be honest with you. I think we're going to have a good time.
Oh, yeah. That should be a lot of fun. As long as Punk don't try to take those chicken wings.
Exactly.
Don't take the hottie's wings. Don't take our hot wings.
Don't take away the hottie's wings.
lose a finger. Dude, it's got to been at least like a year. It feels like a year since Punk's called with you.
Just so I was actually putting together a press release that we put on the website. And, yeah, it was like last – I think December was the last time he was with us, or maybe it was November. I wrote it in the press release.
Because so that's more recent than I thought. Yeah, but that's it's a decent amount of time.
It had been a while for sure. So anyway, that'll be going on tomorrow. In the meantime, sliding this in between, dude. So I'm telling you, man, I love it. So I flew in last night. We did have a couple delays on the way here, which slowed the day down a little bit. But whatever, made it in last night. This morning, I was over at the venue. Taking a look at they're loading up the rigging for the lighting and the audio and getting that all set up and talking with the techs over there about some of the requests from our production team. And then here in a couple hours, we'll go back over there and the team will start building the cage and putting that all together. And then from there, we got to go over to the hotel to handle the official weigh-ins. It's just like all these moving parts, man. But I love it, man. It's been so rejuvenating for me, man. Like, obviously, I'm always passionate about the sport, and I love the sport. But, man, to be in it this long and then to now be, like, really working and responsible for a new side or whatever, man, it's been a blast, man. So I just want to give a shout-out to everybody at CFSC for giving me this opportunity, man. And it's busy days, but it's just a whole lot different days, but it's a hell of a lot of fun. So getting to work that side. It's kind of funny seeing, like, UFC staff as well when I was at UFC event, and they're like, you know, oh, you're on the dark side of things now, huh? Like, you're learning this side of it. But anyway.
Yes, indeedy.
Good times. Enjoy it. All right, listen. So we got UFC 318 this weekend down in New Orleans. I am going to be honest. I kind of knew that there was no way for me to get down to New Orleans. I mean, obviously, I had the event here. I really, really thought about going Saturday night and just flying in, but we have two more events next week for CFFC, and there's still a lot of work to be done that has for those two events. So I think it would be incredibly irresponsible of me to go to New Orleans. But I'll be honest with you, as I'm seeing some of the images and video and social media and that sort of thing, I love that town, man. I absolutely love that town so much. I'm a little bit sad. I think the term FOMO is a little bit stupid, if I'm being honest with you, but it qualifies where I'm just like, damn, I wish I was there right now.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, because was it fear of missing out? Like, not afraid of anything, and just plain up, just damn sad because we're missing some really cool shit that's going on. You know, some of the stuff that they're doing for Dustin, which is really cool. You know, you'd hope that maybe that's a groundwork for that to happen for others, maybe in their future retirements, if they could do it in their town. You know, they're having that, like, I forget what they phrased it, the Dustin Remembrance Q&A or whatever, yeah, instead of some random press conference that people thought was going to happen. So that should be pretty cool. See DC get all emotional up there. but yeah, I mean, and there's just something so cool about just that town. I mean, but now I need to go back because somebody was saying the other day there was a, they were saying Cafe Du Monde is when you go to when you're drunk, but then there was another place called like Beignet World or something that people were like, that's where you go for the beignets. I was like, hey,
really?
Wait a second. It was another place, and I was like, okay, now I've never heard of that place. I don't remember this place, so now I'm like, okay, now I got to go back and do a beignet, ooh, you know, taste test or something. You know, mean, like there could be worse things to do. You know,
I mean, the
Battle of Beignets in New Orleans.
If you're gonna put down Cafe Du Monde, I mean, I understand it may be the old, yeah, classic. Maybe this is the new charge, but sometimes an old classic is an old classic for a reason, right? I mean,
I know, right?
They set the standard.
Well, it's funny because when they were like, you know, that's where you go when you're drunk. I was like, well, we were drunk the last time we went there. You know, like I think pretty much last time I think I was really, really shit faced.
I don't. New Orleans is not a town that you spend a whole lot of time sober in, to be honest with you. It's yeah, you know what I mean. Like
I guess called Cafe Beignet. I had to search it up. Cafe Beignet is the name of the place that supposedly, and this has come from Matt Erickson.
Okay.
Who Matt knows this stuff. Matt's
a foodie. He's a foodie.
He's a foodie for sure. So when he says it, I'm like, okay, I'll give this a shot. He says it has the superior beignets, also has superior hot chocolate. I don't know if I've ever had hot chocolate in New Orleans.
Hot chocolate?
So I won't.
All right, well.
I was like, I would have coffee. I had coffee with my beignets, but I wasn't slurping up some like hot chocolate.
No, you get the Café au lait at Café Du Monde, of course. Now, I will say, shout out to Matt Erickson. He is a foodie, so I will give him that. But I also feel like he's kind of a hipster foodie as well. Like maybe he's, yeah, you know what I mean? Like you can't be like, oh, well, yeah, that's the one, but no.
That's too mainstream. It's too mainstream. I can't say Café Du Monde. No. I got to go to Café Beignet. It's around the corner, and you go underneath this, you know, sign that's falling apart, and then you got to knock on the door twice.
That's definitely a Matt Erickson
spot
right there.
They check your shoe fit, and then if they like your shoes, they let you in, and then you can have their Cafe Du Monde.
That is definitely a Matt Erickson approach to things right there. No question about it.
Yeah.
What you talked about, though, I do. So I'm actually really anxious to see how this broadcast plays out on Saturday night. Like I said, I thought about going, but I'm going to end up watching it from home. Obviously, we know that Lil Wayne is walking out, Dustin Poirier. I've heard that there's some other custom elements and things that they're doing besides just the walkout itself, that there'll be some kind of, you know, I don't know how much career retrospective or just Dustin Poirier love, you know, because you still got other fights you got to focus on and that sort of thing. But yeah. I am anxious to see what they're doing. And you know what? It's funny because I feel like so many people criticize the UFC for not taking advantage of moments or because, listen, there are things that they have locked into contracts. Like they have to go to certain cities and they have to be there this frequently and they have to. And so because of that, their hands are a little bit tied sometimes to just like instantly go, you know, it's not like, you know, I guess in an ideal world, like the minute Ilia Topuria wins a title, you know, you're in Madrid the next time he fights, or the moment Dricus du Plessis wins the title, you know, you're in Johannesburg the next time he fights. And I think it's not that they're not intelligent enough to realize, like, this would really be smart for us, but they have all these contractual, yep, obligations and operational challenges and all that makes it difficult sometimes. So I don't know. I feel like, you know, if you're one of those people that criticizes the UFC for not taking advantage of moments and not capitalizing on things like that, you should be applauding nonstop that they're doing something like this. And, you know, Dustin Poirier, who – you know, I've seen a lot of the discussion this week. Is he the greatest UFC fighter to never win an undisputed title? You know, I mean, things like that. So this isn't even like he's one of the clear greatest. You know, it's George St. Pierre, it's Anderson Silva. No, this is somebody that didn't necessarily attain those championship heights, but you know is incredibly beloved by the entire community, incredibly beloved, especially in his hometown. So to be willing to make a decision like that, I don't know. I think you got to applaud the UFC a little bit, and I'm excited to see what they do, yep, with it.
Yeah, I mean, and any chance that you can take that show on the road to a city that is so beloved, mm-hmm, in the States, I mean, I guarantee, you know, it's awesome. I think you throw money towards Lil Wayne, he'll want to go and perform. But, you know, you get the opportunity for somebody to say, hey, we're going to put on a big event in New Orleans. Do you want to come perform at our event? Most people are going to say, heck yeah,
yeah,
to that a lot sooner than to say, hey, we're going to go – fighting Boise. No offense to Boise, but I guarantee Lil Wayne ain't going to Boise.
They can't take offense to it. You said the city right, so therefore they can't be offended. Anybody in Boise can be like, well, I see what he's saying, but he did say it right, so it's cool. It's cool.
You know, but yeah, I mean, it's they were over. They were due to get back to New Orleans anytime, you know, regardless. Mm-hmm. Then to be able to take this fight there, I mean, it was a no-brainer. But yeah, you're right. I mean, they can't just go everywhere as easily. There's so many logistics and so many other things, and things already in the works. Most times, even though they don't really, you know, they don't announce the schedule, you know, till usually months in advance. A lot of these conversations, the groundworks for them take place years in advance.
Years.
You know, so, you know, and part of that works out with the way that they get deals on being able to put on an event, you know, by booking multiple bookings, even if it's not really laid in, but the groundwork's there that they have to go back. So you give us a deal to come put on an event in your venue, but with the promise that we're going to go back. Now we're booked in. So, you know, they kind of got to do what they got to do. Yep. But, you know, this was a no-brainer, and it was a win-win situation for everybody. I think people often think about, you know, wanting to come to Vegas because it's a destination town. And if they can come see an event in a town that has other stuff going on, they want to do it.
Right.
New Orleans is one of those cities. New Orleans is probably one of the coolest cities in terms of music, history, other things going on that you can do outside of it. It's a destination. It's amazing, you know. So we'll see. I think it's going to be – hopefully it's going to be an event that people, you know, take a lot away from it and have it be a good thing. The card – you know, definitely the main event is where it's at. There's some good fights. I know there's fights on this card that we'll like, but I know a lot of other people are like, well, maybe it's not the strongest, and they're not giving it the highest of rating. But I think when you add in all this extra fanfare, I think it's going to boost up the overall takeaway from this event.
Yep.
Much more so than if you're just looking at the fight card. This is one of those cards where there's extra things to it, I think, that gives it extra gravity.
100%. So yeah, 100%. Which,
but yeah, it sucks to not be there a little bit. It does. You know, as opposed, you know, if I said working from home or even watching Pacquiao's fight from the MGM is cool, it's not the same as being there in New Orleans. You know, so I am a little upset that I'm not there. I thought I was going to be able to get the nod, but that didn't pan out. I won't say more on that, but
we'll just leave it there. I'm assuming you've already made your staff picks and turned that in.
I went Poirier.
You went Poirier.
I went Dustin.
I am too. I'm leaning Poirier as well, and I know that that seems to be kind of going against the grain. I feel like a lot of the public opinion out there is you know, Max Holloway seems to be the more in form, obviously, what he's coming off of, that sort of thing. But I don't know. And I've even heard people say, and normally I agree. Like, normally the whole thing about, like, well, I think this is going to be my last fight. And what does Dana White always say? Hey, the minute you say you're thinking about retirement, you probably should. I don't disagree with that, because this is a sport that requires you to be all in. But I don't know. I feel like this one is just a little bit unique. Like, it's not Dustin saying, like, well, I got nothing left in the tank, but I just want to do one more. Or, like, well, I've lost three in a row, but I got to try to get my hand raised one more time. Like, I think there's still, you know, fuel in the tank if he wanted to. And I just think the idea of getting this retirement fight at home, getting this special moment, again, that's an intangible. That doesn't come down to the X's and O's of the fight. But we know that those some intangibles do give little boosts sometimes, mentally, psychologically, that sort of thing. And I just feel like Dustin Poirier fighting in New Orleans in his retirement fight. And I'm not even – I don't even really bring in the history of the series. I mean, you could just – if you wanted to, you could just be like, well, look, 2-0. We already know which way this is going to go. I don't do that, but I actually lean Dustin as well. So for you, is it a confident pick, or is it just kind of an emotion of the night type pick, or what's your thoughts on that?
Much more on the confidence side of things. I just think that Dustin is – like you said, we've seen it. We've seen this happen before, but I think Dustin hasn't lost a step. Mm. Max hasn't lost a step. I mean, both guys are great. And it's weird, you know, I take into account the past ones so much that when I saw the name of the event, I was like, why is it not Poirier versus Holloway? You should have had the winner's name first, but Holloway's coming in with the BMF
title.
So I get it. Why they did it, but I initially was just like, why is that naming like that? I felt strange to, you know, because I would build out a the Radio Boys are doing a watch along, Farah's doing a preview show, and when I was putting the stream together, because I haven't since Bond's on site, he's been handling a bunch of the setting up all the streams, all the other stuff, you know, and I've been able to focus on the other sports and things. But when I finally had to put that naming down, I was just like, I don't agree with this.
I know.
I had to justify it by thinking about, okay, well, he's got the BMF title. It's going for the BMF title. I was like, but if I beat you twice and it's a rematch, you better put me at the top of the bill, dog. Like, it doesn't make any sense. But I just think, if Max has great movement and he has, you know, he can stand and he can sting and he can hurt you from the sides, I just think when it comes to the power, I think Dustin's got that power that can, you know, if he starts landing some shots, I think he'll, I think he can just take control of it. And he was so funny. Like, was it in the media day? And they were like, if Max gives you that moment and he points down to the ground, are you going to do it? And he's like, yeah. He points to the ground. I'll get in there and then I'm going to dive in for a double leg and take him down. He's like, that's just silly. He's like, I'll double him a gilly. And he's just, I love where his head's at. I respect both these guys. I think it's going to be an absolute banger. We know that both guys is capable of standing in the middle of the cage and just throwing down. But I think Dustin's going to be a little bit smarter, and I don't think he's going to let his emotions run away with it. That if he gets that lead, he's not just going to throw caution to the wind, which was why we thought what Max did to Justin was so cool. Because he was clearly ahead of that, and then still was willing to be like, "Let's go right here."
Right.
And then he got the exclamation mark, which is why that shit will just live forever, and why I think everybody loves Max. But I don't know. I'm looking too much into it. When I saw Max at the media day, I didn't think he looked that great. I thought the weight cut that he was already in didn't look good on him.
Right.
So I just felt like Dustin looked a little healthier.
No, I agree.
So just those little things, but I mean, both guys can, if they're fighting their best, it's going to be a toss up, but if I had to pick the one, so I am confident that Dustin can get it done, but a lot of that's just leaning on the fact that he's got it done before.
Yep.
If it was a first time matchup, then I'd probably be on the fence a little bit more. So, but we've seen this before. We've seen this matchup. So yeah. But I'm just hoping it's going to be a lot of fun. Either guy to get crazy hurt. I don't want anybody like breaking anything. I don't want whatever, you know. But I would like to see both guys trading those shots, smiling, laughing with each other, giving some high fives, then going right back in there and throwing it all. You know, like that's what's so cool about these two guys is that there's no animosity, there's no hate towards each other. But they could literally go out there and throw 110% of everything that they have and then take 110%, smile at the other guy, and walk back in there and do it again.
That's why we love him so much. I'm excited for it. And it's funny, like you said, people are criticizing the card. I will say, you know, I look at the main card especially. Paulo Costa versus Roman Khabibov is very interesting to me because
– It's people are like, eh.
Yeah, and look, I get it. It's weird, right? Because Paulo Costa is such a marketable guy, but he's so inconsistent in competing, and he's so inconsistent in his results that I feel like he's never really lived up to what we thought he was capable of. But I still feel like it's in there. Meanwhile, Roman Khabibov, Khabibov is on a nice little run right now.
Yep.
But yeah, he's not that guy that you're just like, oh wait, Khabibov's on the card? Like, I got to tune into that right now. Yep. You know, he's just kind of, so as a co-main event, I get it. But, dude, when I look at like Kevin Holland versus Daniel Rodriguez, I mean, two beloved personalities, two beloved fighters there, like, that's going to be a fun fight. I look at Dan Ige versus Patricio Pitbull, and I don't believe Patricio Pitbull shows up the same way he did last time. I mean, maybe I'm just, you know, trying to give him too much of the benefit of the doubt, but I think he's going to come in and throw down, and if anybody's going to throw down as well, it's going to be Dan Ige. And then Michael Johnson versus Daniel Zellhuber, which, you know, this is a tough assignment for Michael Johnson. I respect the hell of it, but Michael Johnson has taken some tough assignments over the years and delivered some bangers, you know what I mean? So, like, to me, I honestly don't feel like this is a bad five-fight main card. You know what I mean? Now, granted, I guess we get to look at, you know, pay-per-views as business expenses and not, like, coming out of our personal budget, that sort of thing. Yeah. But I don't know. Like, it seems like it's going to be fun to me. I guess we probably measure things a little bit different than the average fan does. But I look at this and I go, like, that looks like it's going to be a fun little Saturday night.
Yeah, but I think we also can justify it just as effective when you think of it as, when you phrased it as, it's a fun fight card. It is a fun fight card.
Right.
But now when you have people that are like, well, is it a fun pay-per-view? Is it a great pay-per-view compared to other ones? When I had to do the preview, and I mentioned how I had to set up the preview and the watch-along, I can't remember the last time that I didn't that I set up a thing that didn't have a title fight in it. Is this a title fight? This is that UFC sort of like, hey guys, it's a title. It's not a real title.
Which I don't.
But even outside,
I don't hate the BMF. I don't hate the BMF title. Like I think
I don't either.
We all kind of thought it was weird, but now it's kind of become beloved or whatever. But it's not a title fight. It's not a world championship fight.
Right. And outside of that, this is one of the first ones. It's been some time too where we haven't had a title fight in the co-main event. So not only do we not really have a proper title fight in the main event, we don't have anything in the co-main event.
Right.
So in terms of pay-per-view, I think it's a fun, it's a great card, but in terms of what they've been delivering as value for pay-per-view, this is not on par with what they've recently
done. That's fair. That's fair.
But if this was at T-Mobile, this would be a great T-Mobile card, be a great whatever card, but if you're trying to go to a destination and say, like, here we are on the road, you know, and it's going to be this killer pay-per-view or whatever, this is certainly not that. Now, it's not like I've heard them say that.
Right.
If anything else, we're just hearing about how this is Dustin Poirier's, you know, swan song, see you later. And that I'm getting that. But in terms of, you know, somebody buying this, they're going to buy it because they love Max and they love Dustin.
Right.
Nobody's buying it for anybody else on this card. You know,
that's very
outside
fair.
Outside of us that are covering to watch it, you know.
That's very fair.
But it is a good card. It is a fun card. You know, some of the matchups that you talked of, I mean, I think have a lot of questions. Because when you look down the rankings, bro, not even – I mean, you got Dustin who's in the top 10. Outside of that, there's no one else. And you have, like, maybe 3-4 other people that are in the top 15. You know, Costa's – well, granted, I'm just going off of
UFC Tapology's rankings. Oh, Tapology?
I'm looking at Tapology, so this might not what, but just going off whatever the rings, I forget who they use. Kostet 15, Kopilov 16, Holland 15, Ige at 12, and then you got like Kyler Phillips, Marvin Vettori, Brendan Allen, you know, Oliveira. I mean, they're decent dudes, but when you think of like, is these even guys that are battling for contention? Nobody else on this card is in contender spot.
Yeah, there's no, you know, there's no. It's not like when there's the post fight press conference. Anybody's going to be going to Dana White and be like, "Well, given this result, does that mean they're next for
next?
The title?" Like, I know we don't match make on Saturday nights, but is it safe to say that guy's next for the title?
Yeah,
that's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen.
No, you're right about that.
There's fun fights on this. There's definitely fun fights, but I think when you mention like we don't have to pay for it. But when somebody else is like, well, do I really want this? They're only basing it off that main event. It felt like it's a boxing card where people are going to watch it because based upon that main event. You know, like
that's fair.
Nobody's buying boxing cards for, well, this particular boxing card, that it's got three title fights, I think, going on, or two or three title fights. So I could see somebody maybe purchase it for the other title things. But, you know, nobody's going to pay this if they don't love Dustin Poirier and Max Holloway.
You know, that is very interesting because when you put it that way, you're absolutely right about that. Like, if this was not – if you weren't being asked to pay $80 for this, would you have any complaints over it? And I would probably say no, because it does look like, to me, it's going to be fun. I mean, maybe people would still find a reason to complain, but I do think you're right about that when you're assessing it that way, which I guess kind of leads into, you know, the whole Turkey Alshik announcement that DAZN will not be doing pay-per-views anymore for the ring events, that they will be – now, he says free on there, but I'm kind of wondering if that's actually going to be the case. Money's still got to come from somewhere. So it's either –
because I think they at some point want to make money. I don't think that they want to just keep throwing money out just for the sake of they have it.
Right.
Yeah, I would think at some point they want to have a return on it instead of just saying – we're the ones out there spending the most money on boxing. Hey.
So that's what that's what I wonder, like, all right, so there's all this talk about, because people are seeing it, and I see people right away, they're like, wow, Turkey said this, and so I bet the UFC could do something similar. Like, if he's getting rid of pay-per-views, can't the UFC get rid of pay-per-views too? Now, there is one big difference, obviously, the Saudi government and the unlimited amounts of resources that they have. they can afford to lose money if they want to. Yep. I don't think they want to do that forever. Like, I don't think they're in business just to give money away. So I got to think that there's money coming back somewhere. At least they're trying to figure out a way for the money to come back somewhere. And that's when I think of people saying, okay, the UFC needs to give it away. I wonder what's going to happen. Because let's say the UFC does go. I really do believe, and again, this has been my guess from the start, and again, it's just a guess, not an informed guess, but just or informed, I guess, just by being around, but not from anything I've heard, is that I assume that some premium events are going to end up on Netflix and that the ESPN is still going to play a part as well. But is Netflix going to say we don't need it to be a pay-per-view, or are they going to say, like, what does Netflix, like, offer a premium tier that if you're willing to pay more for Netflix, now you get UFC pay-per-views for free or other premium live? I don't know, but you're not just going to, as any business, you're not just going to give that money back and just be like, you know what, for the sake of the sport getting bigger, we're done with pay-per-view events. Like, you still got to make that revenue back somewhere.
Yeah. I mean, as much as could the UFC survive as a business without having pay-per-views? 100%. Yes, they can. But does that deliver anything to your investors and the people that are hoping to get money out of it?
Nope.
It does not.
It does not.
They will never shoot themselves in the foot and try to get rid of that. As much as, yes, would it help the sport? Would it be great to give that back to the fans? That's great. But ask any investor, well, you could get some more return on the money you put in, or do you want to just stay sort of status quo? And as we slowly build up and your stock value grows, if we just, you know, stop taking this other revenue, like, it's not going to happen. It's, you know, could they, like I said, could they survive? Yes. But would any business say, I don't want to deliver and deliver results to our investors? It's never going to happen.
Never going to happen.
You know, and if anything else, I mean, the pay-per-view, I mean, the broadcast deal keeps them running and gets them whatever, and you don't stay these multimillionaires like Dana and these guys are without taking more money. You know, they're not doing it for charity. They're not doing it for the sport. They're doing it as a business that just happens to be an entertainment business. You know, they're here to do whatever, but at the end of the day, they got mouths to feed. They got generational wealth to build and all the other stuff, just as much as we would like to. You know, if you're ever in a position yourself and you have a business and you could build generational wealth, do you finally say, I know I was close, but I'm going to stop short just so
you guys
can be a little better?
Not unless you're Hinato Money Moicano and you just say, hey.
Oh, my Lord. He's catching some shit for that one.
Oh, my brother. My brother, Moicano. My brother. Hey, listen.
I love it when somebody, when the thing says, like, anytime he at this point says he wants money, you just tell him, well, you had a chance, and you said no. So, I don't want to hear it, sir.
But you know what's interesting? So you know what's interesting is, obviously, I like Hinato a lot. You know, got a chance to work with him a couple times on the mic, and he was fantastic, and we had some funny moments together. I had liked him before that as well. You know, he was always very, very kind to me. He grappled for us on one of our early grappling shows at Fury, now CFFC BJJ. I just think he's a nice guy, man. I've always really liked him a lot. I always thought he was a nice guy. I always thought he was very underrated, even before he became the Money Moicano character. And you're not going to hear a lot of people say this, I think, but, like, there's a big piece of me that actually respects what he's saying. You know what I mean? Which is, like, he's saying, look, I signed that contract, and I was happy with the money they were giving me. It's not okay for me now to come back and say that I don't agree to those terms. Like, there's a big piece of me as just a man, as a member of society or whatever, that says, man, I respect the hell out of you for saying that this is not what I believe in. I believe that those were the contracts that I signed, and I was fine with those terms, and I'm good with it. So I actually do respect it a lot. That said, that's so hard, man. I mean, if over the time as the settlement was being done, I'm sure you saw, like, I tweeted out multiple times, like, kind of reminders, and I actually offered behind the scenes to some of the people. I'm like, if you guys need help, like, tracking people down, like, I don't mind spending time, like, going through, you know, my Rolodex or whatever. And they were like, thank you, John, like, we've actually got it taken care of, like, we're reaching out to everybody. But because I did feel that, like, I would hate for anybody that really needs this money to not get it. You know what I mean? That was my biggest fear, is that there were people that just were disconnected from the MMA society and didn't realize that there was money coming their way. But then once you got to the point where that's not the concern anymore, I know there were a lot of people that were worried or whatever that, you know, maybe they were going to upset somebody or piss somebody off or whatever. But if the money's there and even the UFC is saying, like, look, it's paid, take it. I won't criticize Hinato because I like the guy so much. And like I said, I really do appreciate the standards and the principles that he's trying to convey here. But, dude, I don't know, man. When people are handing you out money that it's like, if you don't take it, we're just giving it to somebody else. Like, you're not helping us save any money. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you're not saving the UFC any money. It's already paid out. We're just going to give it to somebody else. I don't know. Like, you got to take it, right? You got to take it.
Well, and even the thing, like, you know, I was happy with the money I was making. I knew what contract I was signing is all good and fair, but without realizing that some of the extra things that weren't said in the contract, some of the other things that just doesn't tell you what they were holding on to or that you properly weren't educated enough into what it was saying to them, got proven that they shouldn't have had those terms in there, that they shouldn't have been trying to hold on the rights. Yes, it's all good and fair that you did, but if somebody is maybe not misleading, but not quite given all the facts, or maybe didn't clarify to you and didn't explain to you what this stuff that you were signing, it gets proven that, hey, that's not fair. You can't really do those things. And they're saying, okay, you're right. Here's this money. Take it, and then let's be done with it. And for you to say then still, well, I knew what I was signing. I know, you know, it's like admitting I didn't, you know, I was happy with it. I was like, ignorance is bliss.
Right.
I didn't know what was in there. I didn't really understand, but I was happy with it. So cool. You know, like who hasn't done something with like a medical claim where people are processing other little stuff. And then every once in a while they'll say, hey, by the way, you're part of this class action because this thing happened. It's like, well, I was paying my medical dues regardless. You know, I have to do that. But, oh, no, they weren't supposed to be charging me this or they weren't supposed to whatever. I don't tell them, no, don't give me the money back because I was happy with it.
Right.
I knew what I was signing, you know. I mean, I get what he's trying to say, but, you know, at the end of the day, they're going to rebook you for a fight regardless, bro. Like, you're not, like,
well, I don't,
it wouldn't hurt you.
I don't believe,
to take that.
I see a lot of people saying, oh, he was just trying to get some favor from the UFC or get some favor from Dana White. I don't believe that. And I don't like that people are saying it that way. I don't believe that's what he was doing. I believe he was trying to stand on his morals and principles and say that, you know, as he said, like, I believe in the economy and I believe in the free will and all those things that he said. Like, I believe he's telling the truth. And again, and a big part of me respects him for that, for saying, no, this does not match my personal beliefs. So therefore I'm not taking it. But again, the fact that the money's already paid, the fact that you know what I mean, like, it, find something to do with it. Like, if you want to give it to charity, give it to charity. If you want to
give it to charity,
yeah,
there you go. Do something else. Go start some other like charity using it. And if you don't feel bad about it, make the money work for other people.
Or even if you say I think even if you say, listen, I don't necessarily believe that I'm owed this money. I understand the court says I am. I don't. And I know that I can take it, but I believe there's people more than me on this UFC roster that need it. And therefore I'm not taking my part because I want my part to be redistributed to other people. Except that at that point, that's when you go back and realize that the lion's share of this was going to, like, Brock and Ronda and John.
I was going to say, Ronda's going to be like, thank you, Hinato, so very much, you know, for that extra, you know, $2,000 that came my way from your $200,000 or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. If,
like, bro.
You know, if you'd have said, like, hey, this is all going to Jens Pulver, or you know what I mean? Like, somebody that was, like, back in the day that, like, missed out on the big, big money or whatever. You know what I mean? You know. I don't know. I don't know. It's so
weird. I
get where
his heart's at, you know, but
I think
you know, there would have been good ways to take that money and do it more constructively rather than just leave it in the pool for some.
I agree.
For the lawyers and others to do, you know, like.
I agree.
Again, he could have said exactly like what you said and just said, I'm going to take this and donate it specifically to Jens Pulver or something like that. But don't let those guys control where that money goes. It was already earmarked for you. If you want to give it out to charity, nobody's going to hold you for it because they took the money that was already yours and you decide to give it away.
Yeah.
You
know. I don't know.
I'm sure he's not getting a thank you card for the UFC. So thank you for not taking the money that we had already paid out.
No, well, that's the thing.
That's
is
not going to happen.
And again, what do I always say is don't say anything that you wouldn't say to somebody's face. And if I was sitting here talking to Renato Moicano right now, I would tell him the same thing. Exactly what we're saying right now. I do think that this mischaracterization of, oh, look, he was just trying to curry favor with the UFC, I think that's not true. I think he was really just trying to stand on his beliefs. But I would, if I was talking to a man-to-man, just be like, look, man, I see where you're coming from, and I do have a lot of respect for it, but I think you're making a mistake. Why don't you take this money and find a different use for it? If you don't feel you're personally entitled to it, let it do some good in society. Let it do some good in the world. Let it do some good for other beliefs that you have, even if they're outside of combat sports. Maybe you just happen to be very tied into some particular charity that you've never had this kind of money to give to them that you can fund. Like, just do that. You know what I mean? I don't know. I think.
Especially to think like what that kind of money would do back in Brazil somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
Even his hometown or something, you know?
Yeah.
Could do a lot of good.
It just pissed me off that I think people were kind of shitting on Renato because of this. And I think he was trying to do the right thing. I don't think he did. And I wish he could have gotten some guidance on it. But I think the way that people are mischaracterizing.
So is it all done and said? He can't change his mind?
Deadline's gone at this point. So it's my understanding is it's done. Done.
Yeah. Wowzers.
Yeah.
Wowzers.
Yeah. One other thing I want to talk about too. I happened to see it. I was traveling yesterday, but I saw like, and there's been a lot of discussion lately about kind of the state of MMA media and, you know, where media as a whole stands in the sport and especially in the United States. And I saw, a Brendan Schaub kind of, I don't want to say rant because I think rant has like a negative connotation. A Brendan Schaub point or whatever.
Soapbox?
I'm trying to find a word that doesn't have a negative connotation because I don't want to make it sound like I'm saying, but he was making a point. It was a hot take or whatever you want to call it, man. He was making a point. But I did think and look, I think there's a lot of good things. Because I will say this. So I started thinking about this, talking about like MMA media. I mean, there's a couple different points here I want to make, or at least that came to mind, not necessarily I want to make. But one is, and you and I think, have been talking about this. I know I've talked to like Oscar Willis about this as well. When we talk about the state of MMA media versus like where Dana is clearly trying to go with things with the quote-unquote influencer role, right? And he goes to these big podcasts that have these massive audiences. And in a lot of ways, if you look at it, if you're just looking at like gross views or eyeballs or whatever, like that actually makes way more sense. Just go to these big audiences that have way more reach than we do as MMA media or what have you, and get the product out there in front of more people, right? But what happens is those people don't continue to cover your sport on a daily basis. You know what I mean? Like, they're there when you're there, and they get the headlines of whatever you wanted to get out, but then they're not covering the sport. So, like, I was looking at, like, this card this weekend, for instance, in particular. Like, there's a couple fights that we didn't get to. We were talking about the main card. Kyler Phillips versus Vinicius Oliveira is going to be absolutely bonkers. And Atiba Gautier versus Robert Valentin is going to be absolutely bonkers as well, right? Like, two amazing fights that I would tell anybody that if they're not fans of the sport or they know who these people are, like, go watch the fight, right? And then, you got this Marvin Vettori versus Brendan Allen fight, which is very interesting because of the rivalry they had that nobody's, you know, again, little reminder of what this story is and what the back is and all these things that the MMA media lives in and talks in and reminds and talks stories about that, like, these big influencers and stuff. I mean, all they're talking about is Dustin and Max, rightfully so, that's the biggest story. But, like, I don't know. So when you go that route where you don't have, like, traditional media covering your sport on a day-to-day basis, I think you're going to struggle to gain awareness. Like, as you're trying to build up these new stars and as you're trying to build up these names, I think, you know, that's difficult. Now, again, we've talked before, it's not the media's job to build stars. It's not the media's job to be PR. But the more that you have media living and breathing in your space every single day, the better off you are. And so I do think that Dana and the UFC do have to be careful that they don't completely siphon off the MMA media and that they make sure there's still some presence there. But I did think that one thing that I think is so important to note about Brendan Schaub was talking about, he talked about, like, he was saying something kind of similar to this as well, which is like, you know, you got to go to the real media as well. And he said, he talked about guys like Luke Thomas, Chuck Mendenhall, Ariel Helwani, there was another name, Pete Carroll. But then he said, But you've banned
all. So he just literally almost listed just the uncrowned folks.
Yeah, exactly. He went through that. That's clearly his spot right there. Yeah, that's his spot. That's his, but he listed all of them. And then he said, but you've banned all these people from the press room. And that's not true. Like, now, I don't know that. I don't know if I'm not sure if Ariel, what his status is at this point. I don't know if he's allowed to get a credential or not. But the rest of those people I know definitely can. The thing is, they've chosen not to go to the events. And when I say chose, I use that a little bit loosely because budget is a factor, right? It's not that they just simply – well, there's two things. Number one, you've got to either have a company that's willing to have that budget, to commit that budget to travel, which, as you and I well know, I mean, how many years have we spent? And it's not like we just go. Like, we're the ones booking the hotel rooms. We're the ones booking the flights. We're the ones turning in the expense reports. Like, we know dollar for dollar exactly what it costs. It's not like some company just booked us and we've never seen the bills and we just go, I don't know, I assume it's not that much. Like, no, I can tell you dollar for dollar exactly how much MMA Junkie spent on domestic travel, international travel, and it's not fucking cheap. I'll tell you that. It's a lot of money. So you got to have people that, you know, a company that's willing to commit to have their resources there. And then the other thing is, even if you do have people willing to go and companies willing to go, and this is one thing that I always have found interesting over the years too, is, you know, the UFC in a lot of ways kind of de-incentivizes you to be there, like the press conference. The press conference, like, what's the point of a press conference for the media at this point? Now, it used to be big because you could collect, you know, quotes that you needed. You could collect video that you needed, you know, before it was such a big deal. But now, like, everything's streamed. Everything's distributed everywhere. So, like realistically, honestly, there is zero point to media being at the press conferences at this point. Because all you're doing really is creating content for the UFC and creating content for other people to take. So, you know, you take a Luke Thomas, for instance. What's the point of Luke Thomas being at a UFC event when he can just sit in a studio, watch everything just like everybody else does, and then turn on his camera and start commenting about the development of it and what he saw and what his observations are? So there's no reason to be there. So anyway, I know it's a long-winded thing, but I really do kind of enjoy this conversation, even though it's not really my role anymore in the sport. But I do think sometimes people are boiling it down a little bit too much. And I loved the passion from Brendan Schaub, but I didn't like that one point because I do think it misses the point of what role companies play in not committing the resources to send people to travel, and then what role kind of the USC plays in itself in not really providing unique content for you to go there so that you're almost fine just covering it from your house.
Yeah, you're getting more exclusives and getting other stuff. And I know a lot of people that have tried to go, if you're just basementblog.com, the UFC's kind of always taken a stance that if you don't have a proper site or a proper like destination where this stuff's going to go, they don't even put you on the radar.
Right.
So you have a lot of cats that used to work for big organizations that don't work for big organizations, and they try to apply, and they're like, well, I have a blog, you know, whatever. And the UFC's like, well, that's not good enough.
Right.
You know, and then they're like, see, I'm not allowed back. And it's like, well, you're not at a major site. You're not at a site anymore. Like, you're just at that point going to go, you know, like, because they want to see you return. And if you're only thing is, whatever, they don't care that, okay, the one video that you put out in a month is shitting on them. It's just you're not putting out videos.
Yep.
You're not putting out content. And then they're just like, well, if I have to accept one basement blog, that means I'm supposed to accept all basement blogs. And then at that point, you know, like, they're like, no.
Yep.
So they've just taken that line. So for a lot of the cats that, you know, gripe, you know, and then they call us access media, and it's like, well, yes, we still work for an organization, but also we've been here since day one, you know, and we've kind of just been doing it, you know. So don't get mad that I'm still at a site that's a site, you know, like, you know. And then, you know, if anything else, just work yourself back into something else. So build up your site to where they can't deny it, you know, and then see if they're denying you. But I've seen some of these cats that still were saying that we're getting credentialed to some of these other regional sites or regional events. And just like what we said, like, to somebody that's trying to get their foot in the door, like, a lot of the media might not travel to some of these remote events. And if you're getting credentialed into them and then you're still not going to those, and it's like, well, bro, it's on you. You can't just come out of the blue and expect to get put onto like a Vegas event, T-Mobile, when you have international people flying in from all over the world. And you think my basementblog.com, even though I didn't go to your other shows, I'm going to go to that one. Well, now you're competing with all the international media that's trying to come in.
Go to the fight nights, go to the smaller events.
It's not so much that you're not getting credentialed. You're not getting credentialed at the events that everybody else is trying to get credentialed. Like, you could go to an event, you just don't want to go to that event.
Yeah.
To the other events, because it costs money, it costs whatever, and I get it. That's why we don't go to every event, because you have to kind of pick and choose. But a lot of these people that say that they're blacklisted, I don't think are truly blacklisted. They're just choosing to not go to the events that they can actually go to, and it's just making it harder for themselves to go to the bigger events.
I think there's a lot less of that going on than people think. Like, people, I don't know, for some reason the people think that, like, the UFC just denies everybody, and that's not the case. There's a lot more at play into why everything is down, and a lot of it has to do with finances, man, to be honest with you. Like, it's just, you know, the way you pay for journalism, I mean, you know, you're not going to sell a subscription to somebody, that's for sure. That's been proven, you know what I mean? Like, people aren't going to pay for journalism. Yeah. I mean, I just see, like, the Wall Street Journal and the LA Times, like, trying to give away subscriptions for, like, $1 a year or something like that, right? Because nobody will pay for it.
Yeah, and they're, like, digital subscriptions. Yep. You know, like, even USA Today was – I've seen something one time. It was, like, $1 for, like – gosh, it was months for, like, an intro thing, you know? And it's just, like – but these digital subscriptions, everybody's trying to switch to the digital subscriptions in the hopes that it keeps even the print subscriptions alive, because the print businesses have just been crushed.
Decimated.
But those haven't gone away. I mean, if anything else, you got organizations like Gannett and other ones that are trying to keep those alive, because, I mean, even here in town, even though I don't work for the Review Journal, for the longest time, I kept the paper subscription because I wanted – there was something nostalgic about it, and I want to help keep the print media a thing.
Yep.
You know, whether or not I actually get it, I know everything's going to your phone. I came at an age when I was a kid that, you know, I'd go every morning, open up the door, and the paper was sitting there.
Yeah, yeah.
That was just part of the routine, you know? I mean, I was never a paper boy, but I mean, I knew people that were paper boys, and I mean, it was just, it's something I know as the time's going, it gets further away for it, but I don't want it to go away. So some of these businesses are even struggling because they're trying to keep the print business around, so those dollars that maybe if it was all a digital world would maybe free up some other stuff for like travel and other stuff. But me, I would rather see people keep their jobs and keep print instead of send me to, you know, if that means me going to less events, I'm okay with that, you know.
There's just so much
tough,
going on.
There's
so much going on in the space, man. There is, and I think that people, if they want to have this discussion and they want to have an open and honest discussion about it, like, understand, it's not as simple as the UFC is banning media and they're only going to influencers and that's the problem with the sport in America right now. You know what I mean? There's just the media space as a whole is it's tough right now, man. It's tough because there's not a lot of ways to make money. People don't want to pay for journalism. They just don't. But there's a lot of expenses that come along with journalism. You know what I mean? It's with covering the event. And, I mean, listen, it's sports. I won't try to pretend that what we ever did at MMA Junkie is as important as, like, you know, people paying attention to the government right now and things along that. Like, we're covering cage fighting. You know what I mean? But there's more to it, I think. I think that part stood out to me. And, again, I'm not disagreeing with most of what Brendan had to say. I like Brendan a lot, man. I do. A lot of people, you know, take shots at him. I never have. Like, he's always been a good dude. And, you know, I just – that part of it, I thought, I was like, oh, that's a little bit irresponsible because that's inaccurate and people are going to latch on to that and say that all these people are banned from coming to UFC events. And they're not. They've just actively chosen not to or actively can't because of the budgets that are involved and the cost that's involved in it. And that's a big problem with media as a whole right now. There's no question about it. So.
I mean, like, Grant, I don't watch Ariel's show, so I don't know if he says it. But I mean, when was the last time he tried to go to an event that they denied him? Like, I don't know off the top of my head.
That's a good question. I don't know. I mean, obviously, I was there when he was banned. I was the one that, you know, I asked about it at the press conference. They brought him back. And I don't know if it's since then been decided that he's
not
allowed.
Didn't you tell them to ban him? Wasn't that you that suggested Dana that?
Sir, don't you even. I was the one that brought it up in the press conference and said, can you please
comment
on this?
You're like, Dana, good job. Good job on that one.
Sir, don't you go starting rivalries that aren't there. But no. So I don't know what it said. That's actually a good question. I actually don't know.
I'd go ask him, but I think he thinks I'm John. He thinks I'm you.
That's great.
I'm going to tease him next time. See if he actually comes back and actually says, but I'm like, oh, you do remember my name.
Just call him Casey or something. Like,
there you go. I should have. Casey. Why you call me Casey? Oh, why you call me John?
That would be great. All right, listen, man. A deeper discussion. Maybe we continue it at some point. We'll bring in some friends or whatever. It really is an interesting topic. I mean, look, media as a whole is changing. There is no question about it. Yep. Things are switching. It's tough to make money. It's challenging. Everything's switching. I was just talking to somebody the other day about, like, media source of the year. Can a YouTube channel be a media source of the year? Maybe.
I mean, at the end of the day, you're talking about the fan awards. It's just a freaking popularity contest. So, I mean,
well, it
like,
is, but
yes.
I'm just saying, but if we're trying to do the best we can.
You got Nina Drama beating out like guys like Joe Rogan and stuff, and it's just like, come on. Well, you know, like.
Can't deny her impact in the industry, whether you like it or not.
Well, no, she has an impact, but whether she had a bigger impact or whatever at that, whatever. It's just silly now because right. Now you don't even see her try to do the media thing anymore. Like for a while there, she was trying to do whatever. Now she's just back to doing the influencing and going on strange random trips to other countries with fight teams. I'm sure that's fun. But yeah, I mean, can a YouTube do it? Sure. I mean, because it just depends. Because now you got a lot of people that they don't. We have a government that's instilling to everybody that any major media outlet is obviously the bad guys. So you have people that don't want news. They want opinions. And you're going to get plenty of opinions on YouTube. And, you know, not a lot of fact-checking. Maybe they do check some of the stuff they say. But you have people that just kind of take it for verbatim. And if that's what they want for their entertainment, then sure. And if you have, these fan awards, you know, these media awards, and it's popularity driven. Yeah, I mean, like,
well,
they easily could be what is considered the number one media outlet. But I mean, if you're basing that off of a fucking popularity contest,
right, I get it.
That's to me, I'm like, eh.
I get it. I just meant it from the sake of a discussion. And you know what's funny? So it's funny. And look, we didn't even really get into it. I wanted to, but I do have to run because obviously I'm here working. But the PFL has a very historic event this weekend, right? It's going to be the lead-in. PFL Africa 1, they're in Cape Town. Obviously, they have some very notable fighters on there. Johnny Eblen, who not that long ago was considered one of the best middleweights in the world. Not necessarily the greatest performances as of late, but still undefeated. Meanwhile, you've got Dakota Dichova, who is becoming an absolute face of the PFL and a very, very talented fighter.
And of women's MMA.
And of women's
general.
MMA,
like,
yep.
She definitely crosses the boundary of just PFL. I mean, you got people in the UFC talking about her. Like, she is legit, like, becoming a face of women's MMA for sure.
100%. She really is. And I think at such a young age, her future is so bright. Yeah. You know, AJ McKee is back on the card. And all of that by also being in Africa as well. So this was the long-awaited, long-discussed push into Africa. And it's not that there hasn't been MMA in Africa, but there hasn't been an international organization that's gone to Africa the way that the PFL is. One could argue that from a news perspective, I mean, we just sat here and talked about how entertaining 318 is, but does it stack up as a pay-per-view? I don't know, and I thought you made some very good arguments. From a news perspective, you could say the most newsworthy, if I'm talking about news in history, is covering the debut of an international mixed martial arts organization in Africa and seeing what the scene is like there and seeing what the reception is like there. That would honestly be the more newsworthy event of the weekend for a media source to cover. But we know the two realities are, number one, the cost of going to Africa versus the cost of going to New Orleans is not even remotely close. Like going to like the price tag alone associated. Like, I'll be honest with you, it'll be interesting to see when the UFC does go to Africa for the first time. Well, I'm sure at that point you could probably send like Farah Hanoun, who wouldn't be that far, or maybe you send Abby Suban, who wouldn't be that far. Obviously, you probably wouldn't send anybody from North America because of the costs involved. But it would be interesting to see what Gannett and what USA Today decide. Yeah. You know, but that's a different discussion. But for now, you know that if you committed the resources of even like a Farah Hanoun, an Abby Suban, who will have cheaper costs than coming from North America, the traffic that you would get on the PFL event would not make up for the cost of sending somebody involved. So at that point, you're making a business decision, not necessarily a journalistic decision, but that is the reality. It is a business. Yep. It is a business. You know what I mean? So instead, you send people to New Orleans because you know that that's what's going to get the most views because that's the product that most people know. And that's, again, that's why I want to talk about the discussion of media and the changing and all that. It's just the reality of the situation. You know what I mean? Like, it is a business and it has to be profitable. So anyway, that's why I think the discussion is a little bit deeper than I think people want to see it sometimes. And I think it's a tough discussion because you kind of end up wanting to bang your head against the wall at some points because it's just the reality of the situation. But it is the reality. So anyway, the reality of my situation is I got to go work, man. I got to get stuff done. So we'll have to continue this discussion another day. Cold Coffee, meanwhile, has just got like multiple sports to cover in Fighters Only
it's
MMA.
It's a changing landscape. Just like you said, it's a changing landscape. It's, you know, a changing as much as we landscape. Love the MMA stuff, you know, it'd be my responsibility to pay attention to some of these other sports.
Got a lot of big sports in Las Vegas. You do indeed,
yes,
man.
Do.
Maybe the A's are coming. Maybe they're not. That's a whole discussion. Maybe you want to cover F1. Maybe you want to be a motorsports guy. I know how much you love F1.
You know,
so.
I could always change my tune, I suppose. I love that F1. Vroom, vroom, buddy. Vroom, vroom.
When I called it FU, it was because it's FUN. It's so much fun. Yay! That's why I said FU. Because it's FUN. Fun, fun. All right. I got to go. I literally just got text message from people that are waiting me to pick them up and take them over. So we got to run. Everybody tune in, please, to CFSC 144. We've got a fun fight card over there, a couple championship fights at the top of the bill, but some great matchups top to bottom. As I said, CM Punk and Michelle Waterson, so it should be a lot of fun. Everybody, enjoy your weekend. Cole Coffee and I will get together on Monday for and a half over at patreon.com. In the meantime, everybody, enjoy your weekend, and thanks for listening.
Legislation is changing. Budgets are shifting. And terms like one big beautiful bill can feel anything but beautiful. That's where BHM CPA Group steps in. BHM's purpose is to simplify the complex. Their team is trained to meet today's challenges with real-world solutions in tax, accounting, and business planning. Get the clarity you deserve so that your business can thrive. Don't wait. Visit BHMCPAGroup.com. That's BHMCPAGroup.com. BHM. Because running a business is hard enough. Your finances shouldn't be.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right.